Thank you for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and make him known. If you like our podcast, subscribe and leave us a great rating on Apple Podcasts. Thank you, and we hope you enjoy.
Thank you for that. All sorts of great stuff happening. Who's excited about the 80s-themed bingo night? What in the heck is that? I know you guys do it at every church you go to, but this is going to be our spin to it. And hey, shout out to everybody collecting for the baby bottle drive. I've had a couple questions. If you do want to write a check, just write it straight out to Choices, and they will get those funds, those will go directly to them. So yeah, fill up those bottles. There's still some in the back if you want to grab some and fill up some change. But I got some stats. I talked to the guy over there, and he gave me some stats. Check this out. Choices Pregnancy Center, they have 3 centers, and they just opened up their 4th. But they have a huge impact in this valley. They've had 1,185 new clients, and they come back. So overall, about 4,500 visits, 1,100 pregnancy tests, almost 700 ultrasounds they performed. It's all free of charge. Parenting classes, they host those. 1,765 people are currently in the parenting classes, and 47 people have recommitted to a faith in Jesus. So they found Jesus or recommitted. That is amazing. That is so, so awesome. And then this is an exciting stat as well. When they come in and they come in for an ultrasound or a pregnancy test, they'll kind of get a gauge on where they are, and 109 people have said, you know what, I have decided to now carry this child for a full term. So praise God. Now here's what's crazy about these stats. This is not last year's stats. This is 2023. This is the very first quarter of what the impact that Choices Pregnancy Center has. So thank you guys for your support. Be praying for those guys. And if you're curious on what their center is, they have a really great center in Glendale, and you can go for a tour. So come find me or hit them up online, and we can get you a tour. But it's really, really cool to see what they are doing over there. So thank you again for you supporting them. So today I'm going to talk about celebrating. Who likes to party? That's an interesting question. You're not sure exactly how to answer that at church. It's not a trick question, but my question for this day is, how do you do in celebrating the good things of your life? Is it hard for you sometimes to celebrate the good things in your life? Is it hard to just pause and say, you know what, this is a really great thing, I'm going to celebrate this? I know for me, it's been summertime, and it seems like there's more birthdays during this time. There's graduation celebrations that we've been a part of. There's weddings, a lot of great, exciting things. However, when I'm looking at all of my to-do list, if I'm honest, don't judge me, but if I'm looking at all my to-do list, and I know that there's a big party or something coming up, it almost is like this is going to be more for me to do. Does anybody else feel that way? A little bit? I'm happy to get through the party, and then like I just have this sigh of relief at the end, like, oh, it's finished. Like, I appreciate the person, I love them, but like, oh, it's over. Like, now I can get on to other stuff. And I'm like, that's not right. Like, why is it so hard to just take a pause, take a beat, and celebrate some of the most important people in your life, or celebrate some of the victories that you've gone through? Why is it so hard to celebrate? I think for me personally, it's because of that list. I love my to-do list. I have a to-do list around the house. Even Susie jokes, she's like, I never have a honey-do list, because Sean's always doing the honey-do list before I even do it, and I think that's good, but sometimes I ignore her, and then that causes problems. But anyways, just being real with you all. But I think sometimes it's hard for me to celebrate because I still have this nagging thing that I'm not sure how to figure out, or I want this to work out. And it's just hard. Sometimes it's hard because I get fixated on, like, I just want to get this done. And maybe you can relate to me. Maybe you're just like, man, I just need to get through this. If I can just get through this, then I'll be able to catch my breath. Or once the party's done, if I can get through that, or maybe you have a big medical thing, or if I could just get through this surgery, if I can just get through this treatment. Or have you said this? Like, I just need to make it through the holidays, right? I just got to make it through the holidays, or I just got to finish this class. I just got to graduate. All the seniors understand that. And I'll tell you what, this year has been interesting for me. Stephen and the Hogg family, they are moving to Tennessee. He's got a teaching job starting out, so there's a lot of transition, and next week's going to be the last week, and we're definitely going to miss these guys so much. But I can relate to kind of what they're going through just in, like, this transition. Susie and I, we decided to start looking for a different house just to be closer to the church. And so I'm like, okay, that's cute, you know, and, like, is there any ladies that just love going online and, like, looking at houses? Like, it's, like, more exciting than, like, social media. Oh, look at this one. I'm like, okay, that's great. That's way too much. It's beautiful. Are you kidding? Is there a filter that you can drop that down some? So anyways, we're just like, you know what? For what we do, for the community, it'd be really great for us to be closer to the house or closer here to the church. So we start looking, and don't get me wrong, like, we're happy with the place that we're at right now, but we start looking, and we come across, a couple of interesting things. The builders are, like, reducing their prices, and so there was this one house that was going to be due in March, and we're just like, hey, look, there's no way to pull this off. Like, let's be realistic. There's no way to pull this off. And then another deal came along, and, like, they discounted this and all taking off all the stuff, and I'm just like, okay, this is good. Like, I think we could make this work, but, like, should we afford this? Like, have you ever thought that? Like, we can afford it, but what would Dave Ramsey say? You know? Dave Ramsey, yeah, I'm not going there. We like Dave Ramsey. But, like, what? Is this the right time to buy a house? Like, interest rates are going crazy. And I'm just in a stew of, like, frustration. Like, it's just like, like, what's the right decision? And so we're praying over this, and God really gives us a word. And so we're like, okay, we're going to proceed with this, but, like, I know in the back of my mind, there's, like, 13 things that have to work out. And they have to work out, because I know in this business, like, they have to work out in a sequel, a special order. And if it's not done, then the whole deal could really go sideways. And so I'm like, okay, it's fine. Even if the deal goes sideways, we're still good where we're at. But in the process of this, it's just been grinding. Because, like, I want to celebrate. I want to have all these experiences. But on the other side, it's super stressful. Does anybody relate to that? Yeah. Like, for example, who here noticed our construction zone right here? You did. Did this irritate you a little bit? No? Come on. Yes, it did. I had multiple people be like, do you need help clearing that out? Is that like a sermon thing or what? Is it with the buckets? Is it like a Home Depot? Like, we can do this. Let's do this. Like, did anybody think that? So it's weird, right? You're like me because my attention goes to what's not right. Not to mention that, shout out to all you guys, that we raised all the funds to get carpet and new chairs and screens. Did anybody notice that the air conditioner was working? No, you didn't notice that. You all noticed two buckets and a step stool. Right? We had the sound work. We got a new microphone. You didn't notice that, but you noticed this. Everything else is perfect. The banana bread, the pumpkin bread was on point today. Everything was great. But that's like me, like in my mind, I'm like, this needs to be done. Here's the problem with this. It's not 30 seconds of just moving this stuff off stage. Our problems are complex. They involve other people. They involve things that we can't just, like, tidy up really quick. And so they gnaw on us. They're like, oh, what's this going on? How's this job we're going to work out? I wonder if they took this the wrong way, this conflict in relationship. All of these things kind of nag at us. But God says, you know what? It's important for you to take a beat and to celebrate. And I know we're all wired differently, right? There's people in here that just are focused on, like, these are the real problems in my life, right? Like, let's be real. Let's be realistic. Like, this is what's going on in my life. Here's how I'm struggling. And then there's other people who the glass is always half full, right? Like, everything is great. As a matter of fact, their theme song would be like the Lego movie, Everything is Awesome, right? That's how they live. Everything is awesome, right? And then there's other people. Shout out to Tony. Well done there. There's more people that are like, you know what? Never enough. Like, it's never fixed. It's never good enough. Everything, there's always a duck that's out of line. Like, there's always something, right? Who can relate to that? Two people. You guys are in church. You shouldn't lie. But really, we're all one body. We're all one family. And we need each other. So if you're in everything is awesome, you got to give grace to the never enoughs, right? And if you're never enough, then just let it be awesome every now and again, right? Because God brought us all together. Look at how Philippians talks about how we should celebrate progress. And I love this. This is from the Passion Translation. It says, be cheerful and joyous. Be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. How does that describe you? Let your joy overflow. That's heavy. Be cheerful with joyous celebration. Why is it so quiet here? It's like, you guys are like, oh man, I'm not doing that. And this is wild for Paul to say this because he's under house arrest at this point. But no matter what your season looks like, it says, let your joy overflow. It continues, it says, let gentleness be seen in every relationship, for our Lord is ever near. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. He's saying, hey, look, there's construction projects. There's always going to be something that's out of order in your life. And when you get that in order, guess what? Something else is going to break. Something else is going to pop up. Some medical thing is going to happen or something, whatever it is. Our life is not designed to be perfect because sin entered the world. Yet we are people who are designed to live in a perfect place. God set up the Garden of Eden and he says, it is good. And so there's that like tension inside of us because we want to return to the environment, to the place that we were designed to live in. Yet sin came into the world. And so we need to be mindful that we need to be joyous people. We need to be able to celebrate, to say, you know what, look how far I've come. Maybe I'm not where I want to be or need to be, but this will give you the gas to keep going. Not noticing everything that's wrong or calling attention to this, because the world's really good at that, right? Like the world only sees flaws, but it's almost like this. Instead of just having a to-do list, what if we had a God did list? God, you did this. Like, that would be so great. That would be so wonderful. Listing things that God's got you through. That time that you needed a job or he worked out your finances or where your marriage was in conflict or when family was not getting along and God worked it out. Owning the fact that you have had victories. And what does it look like to be joyous in every season of life? Like, that's a tall order. I think it's great that Stephen's like, you know what? I'm a little nervous sharing this, but like, I want to share the good in my life. We have to put things in our lives to remind us of what God's done. Have you ever gone on a trip and then you buy like a souvenir? I had this coffee cup. It's like a little orange coffee cup, and I got it at Brazil. We had this amazing vacation, and every time I go to get coffee, I notice that, and it's like a trigger because like, wow, that was a really cool trip. Or if you have a phone, my kids love doing this, but like, I don't know how iPhones do it, but like, they just have like random pictures of the past, right? And I'll scroll through that, and I'm like, wow, it looks like I've had a lot of fun. And unfortunately, it's like, I remember that time, and I remember that year, and that was hard, but like, according to these photos, like, I was living at large, you know? Like, we have to take a second, and maybe it's a souvenir or connect something into how God is good. And what did God tell the people in the Old Testament? Do you remember? He says, build an altar. When God did something amazing, when they passed through the Red Sea or when they had some big thing occur, they built an altar. So what's an altar? It's a marker or it's a reminder of what God has done in your life. And it's not only for you, but it's also for your kids and future generations. So they'd be crossing over this and they'd see that and the kids would be like, what's that? And that was an invitation for the parents to say, oh, that's when God led us through and he parted the Red Sea. It was amazing. Your grandfather told me this story. Or they celebrated like Passover, right? Holidays. We celebrate Christmas. Why? Because it's a celebration of Jesus' birthday. Like imagine if you were to have your own spiritual holidays of what God's done in your life. Maybe you have a spiritual birthday. Or maybe you celebrate like, wow, I remember when we were really struggling and God did this in our life. Like having your own family holidays that would celebrate that. Look at what Psalm says. It talks about the importance of telling the next generation. Psalms 78, verses 4 through 7, it says, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord and about his power and his mighty wonders. See, my kids knew that we were stressful. But sometimes we need to also brag about how God's got us through things. It continues, it says, for he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children. Why? So that the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they will in turn teach their own children so that each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. So looking at the good, remembering how God has got you through different times and difficult circumstances, answering the call to celebrate. If you were to pick up a New International Version Bible, there's 83 places that they use the word celebrate. 83 places. God told the people to have 7 different feasts in the Old Testament. And when you take a break to celebrate, it reminds not only others, it gives them faith, but it reminds you, like, wow, God's got me through this. And I know that every time I face a difficult hurdle or I'm going through things that like, okay, Lord, this is beyond my control. There's a lot of things that need to fit into place before this deal goes through. And I just say, okay, Lord, you do it. Like, I'm happy if this thing goes sideways or I'm happy if it goes through. But like, I've done all I can. I've sent the emails. I made the phone calls. And now you just have to work this thing out. But I remember when I was in a jam years ago, and it worked out. Reminding yourself that God has got you through. Yes. Look at what Luke 15:7 says. This is an interesting thought, but there is so much celebration going on in heaven. There's so much partying and joyous celebration in heaven. Jesus says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than the 99 righteous persons who do not repent. Did you know, like, every time a sinner repents, there's a party in heaven? There's a celebration. And I'm not sure, like, it's weird because, like, you tune into the news a little bit and you're like, God sees all of this mess. Yet still, he says, there's a person who found salvation in my son. I'm going to have a party. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Like, heaven is a celebration place. And God sees all of this and he can work it all out. But right now, he's going to celebrate this one person that came to faith. That is so exciting to him. And it reminds me, like, wow, I need to do this as well. Because here's the thing. Celebration calls attention to the progress that you've made, to the people in our lives, to the things that God has blessed us with. It fosters community, and it builds relationships, and it makes us have a space where we can have healthy connections. So we need to integrate the wins in our life. If you have had accomplishments, then celebrate that. Do you know what the Bible says is our source of strength? You probably do. It's found in Nehemiah chapter 8. It says, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Isn't that interesting? How do you do that? I need strength. I need endurance. Figure out how to find joy. Figure out how to find joy. And I imagine if you were to list out a God did list, it would be easy to be like, wow, I remember that. I remember that difficult situation and God got me through. I remember when I was addicted to smoking. I remember when I was addicted to this in my life. I remember when this relationship caused me so much frustration and I prayed about it and God worked it out. I recently read a study where sharing the good news of good things in your life has instant ramifications for joy. When a person shares the good news with somebody and that person responds enthusiastically, there's a positive feeling between both the people. I used to not share my birthday. Like, I'd just be like, my birthday is no big deal. And then I thought, you know what? Who cares? I'm going to share about my birthday. Hey, next week, it's my birthday. Oh, yeah, cool. That's great. Or it's my, I'm like checking out at the grocery store. And I'm like, yep, it's my birthday today. I'll tell anyone. I don't care. Like, telemarketers calls, hey, man, it's my birthday. What's going on? And never have I just, somebody's responded with this really bad attitude, like, shut up, I don't want to hear about your birthday. Like, not one person. So when we share the good news about our birthday or our life, happy birthday, Jerry, by the way. Well, yesterday was his birthday. It brings this joy into others' lives as well. And that is the risk. Some of you are like, I don't want to share that because they might be struggling and da-da-da-da-da, and I don't want to be braggadocious. But just sharing that is a sense of joy, and it could also give them hope as well. In John chapter 4, Jesus has this interaction with the woman at the well. And so he shares this good news, and he describes something to his disciples afterwards. The woman at the well, she got super excited, and the disciples were getting food, and they said, hey, we're here with food. And he's like, I'm not hungry. I have a source that you don't understand. He says, verse 36, it says, even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life. And get this, so that the sower and the reaper might be glad together. So when you share your faith, when you're like, man, God just did a miracle in my life. I was stressed about this. There were some issues that I thought cancer was a thing, and our church prayed together, and like, God healed me. Like, you sharing this good news does both sides good. It's like a win-win. That's cool. That's cool. Even in Ecclesiastes, the wise person, he says in chapter 2, 22, it says, for what a man, this is kind of like his summation. He says, for what has man, for all of his labor and for the striving with of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun. He's saying there's nothing better for a man than he should eat and drink and that his soul should enjoy the good of his labor. When is the last time that you enjoyed the good of your labor? Because I know you all work hard. I hear the stories. And that's why I love like teachers and admin. Like, kudos to you guys. Shout out. Go take a break, right? But what if you were to make a God did list? What would be on that list? Take inventories of the victories that you have. So right now, you know what? Let's just do that. Pull out your phone. I bet you have a little note in your phone. Go ahead. It's church, I know. You could pull out your phone, though. Pull out your phone and start a new note. And then this is the victories of what God has done in your life. This is victories of what God has done in your life. So Maybe God's helped you through a difficult time, or he's healed you. Maybe you were lonely, he gave you some friends. He directed your path to maybe a new job or helped you with finances. Or you found Streams Church. Yes. I know that's your favorite. But seriously, look at how far you've come. Maybe he got you through high school or college. You were stressed out about how you were going to get funding, and then the school loan came or whatever. Most of us have a place to live and a car to drive. You have clothes to wear. Like, these are God's goodness. Maybe he's giving you joy in singleness. Praise God. Or maybe he's giving you grace to be married. Praise God. Maybe you haven't had a drink in 60 days. You're sober. That's awesome. Celebrate that. Or maybe you've been working on, spouting out, and you said, I want to be slow to speak, slow to anger, and quick to listen. That's awesome. Maybe you're here on time. That's a win. That's a celebration. Or you read your Bible. You've been listening to Christian music. You've been involving God in your life. Here's the question as the worship team comes up. We'll kind of wind down here, but I want you to ask God right now, just Holy Spirit, where am I winning? Where am I winning? Sometimes we can be so hard on ourselves that we don't see the progress that we've made. I just think it'd be so cool right now for God to speak and ask God, where am I winning? I just want to pray a second. Lord, right now as people have the courage to ask, where am I winning? God, I pray that you would speak to them, that you would encourage them. It's made so clear in your word that life is full of problems and hardships, but your grace is sufficient, and where we are weak, you are strong. But I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal where people are winning and how you're proud of them. And God, for those who need to reconnect with you, who need to acknowledge you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that you would speak to them right now as well. That your love would just come through so strong and rich. In Jesus' name. Here's what I think. You are people worth celebrating. You are people worth celebrating. And when you came to faith, there was a party in heaven. Share your faith. Share what God's doing. And I pray that the joy of the Lord would be your strength. Let's go ahead and stand as we close in